Good morning, radio listeners. Here we are at another weekend, and you're listening to Your Preality with Dr. P and Marianne. Today we have a very interesting show. It's the second part of our dreams show. So I want to remind you about contacting us at our email address, dr.p.isbn@gmail.com. We'd like to hear your feedback about our show or listen to any ideas that you have for topics that we could talk about. Or just give us some ideas about what you're thinking when you listen to our show. And whether you like it, you don't agree with us, we want to hear everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. Right, Dr. P?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, that's true, Marianne.
So last week when we did the show, the original show about dreams, we had some very interesting information. The first question that we asked was, do all people dream and do animals dream? We also asked about REM sleep. What is REM sleep? And we wanted to know about babies. Do babies dream? And at what age do you start dreaming? And can you feel pain in your dreams? And can you control your dreams? A lot of people love the dream that they just had and would like to get back to it. Can you do that? Well, we covered all of that last week, and you can listen to it in the archives for Saturday, April 2nd. The show is called Dreams. It's on our podcast archives. And what is an epic dream? And where do we go when we dream? Why are my dreams so violent sometimes? So, Dr. P, I'm going to let you start our new show.
Thank you, Marianne. Just a reminder, last week's show was general knowledge about dreams. That was part one. Today is part two. We're going to talk about significant inventions that were inspired by dreams. You know, these examples suggest that if you're trying to solve a problem and you dream about it, you should pay attention to the dream because it might actually give you some insight into how to solve a problem that you're working on. The first example of an invention that was precipitated by someone having a dream is Larry Page. Larry Page is one of the co-founders of Google. And what happened to him, he was a student, I forget where, was it Berkeley?
Stanford University?
No.
Oh.
Larry Page
yes,
had an
I think
irrational,
it was Berkeley.
He had an irrational fear that he'd been accepted into Stanford University by mistake. That's Stamford. And this triggered an anxiety dream. He imagined that he could download the entire web onto some old computers lying around. That was the dream. He imagined that he could download the entire web onto some old computers lying around. So he got up in the middle of the night to do some math. And when he realized it was plausible, he took 2 years off from studying to create what became Google. And if you think about it, imagine how different your life would be if he wouldn't have had that dream. If Google never existed, the world would be not, it wouldn't be the same world as it is today. But that's just one example of how a dream can inspire something commercially useful or just sometimes just basic science has been discovered, which is described later in the show. The next invention I find really great and hilarious. It's how the sewing machine was invented. The sewing machine, Elias Howe, he's been trying to develop a sewing machine for years. And he dreamed one night of a violent murder nightmare, and that led to his sewing machine, his humble sewing machine. In 1845, Elias Howe, H-O-W-E, dreamt that he had been captured by cannibals who gave him an ultimatum. He had to invent a sewing machine within 24 hours or suffer a painful death. And he failed in his dream, so they stabbed him repeatedly with spears. But what's peculiar about the dream was that the spears had a hole in the tip. And that's when he woke up, Hal realized that he had to put an eye in the needle to create the lock stitch sewing machine he'd always struggled to invent. What do you think about sewing machines, Marianne?
Well, it certainly was an amazing invention, because prior to that, all of the stitches that were ever done in any fabric were done by hand. So now you had a machine that did things so much faster, easier, and it probably was an unbelievable invention to so many people. But it's also very interesting about this dream, whether there was a lot of symbolism in the dream at all. What do you think about that?
I don't know. There's a lot of symbolism in it, but I think only the Elias Howe could decipher what some of that symbolism means. Mm-hmm. People can decipher their own dreams probably better than other people. Well, the next example is just a plain old-fashioned Nobel Prize understanding of why things work. Human natures, we all have a innate ability to try to strive for understanding why things work. At the time of his life, the transmission of signals between neurons was thought to be electrical, that one neuron would pass electricity to the next. However, Otto Loewi, L-O-E-W-I, had the thought that nerve signals were possibly transmitted using chemical instructions. He could not think of how he could prove this, his new idea. 17 years later, in 1920, Loewi had a dream about the problem. He woke excited during the night and scribbled notes about the dream. In the morning, he could not remember the dream, and he couldn't not read his nocturnal notes either. Well, that's really a bummer. But the following night, he dreamed about the problem again. The dream was about an experiment that he could use to prove his idea, and this time he remembered it. He carried out research based on his dream and published the work in 1921, 1 year after he had the first dream. He established that signaling across synapses was indeed chemical, as he suspected. It's really ironic that it took 17 years, for subconscious thoughts to come to the surface in this man, often called the father of neuroscience. So here's a groundbreaking observation that took 17 years from first getting a hint of it to be realized.
So that to me is unbelievable from the one aspect of the fact that how do you get back to the same dream the next night or nights after that?
I don't know.
What do you make of that?
I don't know. I don't know how to get back to a dream that I'm having. Do you?
No. I have tried to do that and haven't been successful all the time, but don't remember exactly whether I was successful at all. But with this situation, it was certainly much more significant because this man was figuring something out that was really critically important. Right?
Yeah, that's definitely right. Anyway, let's move on to Niels Bohr discovery. Niels Bohr was a chemist, physicist, and he got the Nobel Prize for this. He had been pondering the nucleus of the atom with electrons spinning around it, like planets around the sun Earth. He had a gut feeling that it was accurate, so he dedicated his research to proving his theory. Lo and behold, he was spot on and won the Nobel Prize in Physics for the breakthrough. Another famous discovery was that of Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. A field of cows inspired Albert Einstein's theory of relativity, which, according to a ComDot survey, is one of the most important ideas that ever came out of sleep. In his dream, Einstein was telling a farmer about cows being surrounded by an electric fence. But the farmer saw something different. Einstein woke up with the realization that the same event could vary from different perspectives. And that's exactly what the theory of relativity discussed or figured out. It began to take shape. Oh, that's pretty cool. That's real cool, actually. Well, you're listening to a famous song. It's called I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And the person who was instrumental in making this song was Keith Richards. Keith Richards, he was a guitarist for the Rolling Stones, is just as talented asleep as he is awake, at least according to how the mega hit I Can't Get No Satisfaction was created. And that's playing in the background. And he described the history-making moment to NPR. I'm quoting him now. I go to bed as usual with my guitar, and I wake up the next morning and I see the tape is run the very end to the very end. And I think, well, I didn't do anything last night. Maybe I hit a button when I felt was asleep. So I put it back up to the beginning and push play. And there, in some sort of ghostly version, is the opening lines to Satisfaction. It was a whole verse of it. And after that, there's 40 minutes of me snoring. That's what he said. But there's the song in its embryo, and I actually dreamed the darn thing. He said damn, but I said darn. So that's how I Can't Get No Satisfaction emerged. It emerged from a dream. And the guy didn't even know he did it. He had to record it. It's just kind of hilarious. Maybe if you think you're going to create something, you should record your dreams. What do you think, Marianne? You want to record your dreams?
I think that'd be very interesting, actually, yes. Maybe we'll try that.
Maybe we'll try that. I think we should take a break now. Yeah, we're going to break. Welcome back, listeners. It's been a wonderful show so far. I hope you enjoyed hearing some of these discoveries made from dreams and dreaming. And I encourage you, if you're interested in hearing this again, you can just find it on the podcast. So anyway, let's move on to an unusual one, I think. It's literature. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was dreamt about. I'm going to start my notes now. Unlike many of the other world-changing ideas mentioned here, the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde didn't originate after a night of sweet slumber. The tale of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde came to Robert Louis Stevenson during a drug-induced nightmare. His dreams induced screams disturbing his wife, whose name was Fanny, and she angrily woke him up. Startled, he said to her, "Why did you wake me up? I was dreaming a fine boogie tale." The nightmare took a terrible turn when Fanny thought his first draft of the story was nonsense. So in other words, he wrote a book about his dream, and his wife Fanny would throw it into the fire, I think it said. But anyway, she burned it. She did throw it into a fire. Stevenson was so impressed with the understanding, he rewrote the 30,000-word story over a 3-day period. Sure enough, it ended up selling so well that the book lifted the Stevensons out of debt. So even you can get new concepts for a literary idea by dreaming. We saw you could discover aspects of the atom. We showed that you can discover how to commercially useful computer endeavors with Google. Songs can be discovered by dreaming. And what about the theory of evolution? We're going to talk about that now. The theory of evolution. This may be a surprise to some people. Charles Darwin may get all the glory when it comes to the theory of evolution, but scientist Alfred Russel Wallace thought of it too. During an 8-year expedition to what is now Indonesia, Wallace collected and studied thousands of animal species. And by 1855, Wallace concluded that living things evolved, but he didn't know how. He didn't know how to figure it out until 1858, thank you, when a fever dream sparked the epiphany that animals evolved by adapting to their environment. And that was right on, even though Darwin gets the credit for pushing that, the Darwinism. All right, with that said, we're going to move on to scary things to know about dreams. Your dreams might be a rehearsal for real-life frights. So your dreams may be rehearsing when you're in a dream state for stuff that's happening in real life.
So is this a premonition of something that you should expect to happen?
Actually, I wonder if you can use the word premonition in it, because premonitions are for yourself, are usually about other things. But premonition probably is a good word for this. If you're rehearsing, you're getting in a strictest sense, you're getting a premonition. Well, another thing that you should know about dreams and nightmares is dreams of teeth falling out might be related to dental problems. Another one is sleep paralysis is connected to waking dreams. So if you have sleep paralysis, which I believe during REM sleep you're supposed to be sleep paralyzed where you can't move, it's connected to waking dreams. Dreaming of being smothered may relate to respiratory problems, but many physicians don't know a lot about nightmares and dreams, so I'm going to leave it there. Now, so far I think you can tell that I think dreams are endlessly fascinating. They're one of sleep's greatest mysteries, even to sleep experts and sleep scientists. Why are dreams and nightmares so interesting to us? In their strangeness and emotional intensity, they have the power to capture our imagination, and yet we really don't know all that much about the purpose of dreaming. Scientists continue to work to understand the underlying biological purpose behind dreaming, and there are some scientists who think it's possible dreaming has no purpose, But most scientists who study sleep and dreams think that dreams do serve a function. And we all dream, whether we remember them the next morning or not, and we've all had the experience of a nightmare that leaves us rattled and shaking and relieved to be awake the next morning. Nightmares are just as much of a mystery as every other type of dreaming, but we're learning more all the time about what might cause them, what they might signal, and what they could mean. So by learning more about dreams, we might learn what causes them, and what might signal them, what they might signal or tell you, and also what they could mean to you as a person in real life. And we have about 6 minutes left in the show. And during the last 6 minutes, what do you think about going over drugs that cause nightmares?
Yeah, I believe that a lot of people are taking medication that they don't even understand can really start to give you very bad dreams. And
well, let's talk about medications that can cause, known medications that can cause nightmares. One are blood pressure medications, and in particular, the beta blockers. Beta blockers include propranolol, metoprolol, atenolol, and labetalol. Each of these medications can carry nightmares. These medications are essential, though, and they counteract high blood pressure, but they also affect the brain's response to the neurotransmitter norepinephrine. So norepinephrine in the CNS's activity, I won't say anything about what its function is, though. The next one that is of interest is antidepressants. SSRIs are an example. SSRIs are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Paxil, paroxetine. This holds the out of all the drugs, the antidepressant paroxetine or Paxil holds the strongest clinical evidence for causing nightmares and disordered dreaming. Paroxetine belongs to a class of medications known as the SSRIs, selective reuptake inhibitors. These medications affect the neurotransmitter serotonin in the brain to improve mood. Paroxetine is specifically known to suppress deep REM sleep, which is a phase of sleep associated with rapid eye movements and lots of dreaming. Other SSRIs, antidepressants, have also been reported to cause nightmares. Some examples include the paroxetine is Paxil, Prozac is fluoxetine, Zoloft is sertraline. All of these compounds cause nightmares. In a case study, a woman who had frightening and terrorizing nightmares after just 3 doses. And we got a couple more. Sleep aids and allergic medications, antihistamines. Apart from preventing allergy symptoms, did you know that some antihistamines can cause sleep-related side effects, drug-induced nightmares, and vivid dreams, and are most commonly reported with first-generation antihistamines such as Benadryl or diphenhydramine? All of these are over-the-counter medicines that you can take, but just be wary if you start getting nightmares, you might want to try something else. Another class of compounds are the steroids, the prednisone and methylprednisolone. Two of the most commonly prescribed steroids that can cause weird dreams are these two compounds. Steroid hormones can affect the brain chemistry and change your mood, and they affect sleep through their effects on neurotransmitters like serotonin. And finally, Not finally. I got three more. Alzheimer's disease medication, donepezil and rivastigmine. These medications used to treat dementia in Alzheimer's patients aspect sleep qualities, specifically the quality and amount of dreaming. Interesting, researchers found that donepezil taken at night increases nightmare, but a morning dose had no effect. And then we come back to Parkinson's disease medications, amantadine. Amantadine has been reported to cause vivid dreams, often of a sexual nature. It's a medication commonly used to treat Parkinson's patients with fatigue and shakiness due to neurons dying off in the brain. Other side effects of amantadine include confusion and insomnia and hallucinations. And I think we've run out of time, and I thank you for listening. And don't forget, you can email us at dr.p.isbn@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you of what you might think a good topic to talk about is. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening, radio listeners.